to the Columbia Center for Spiritual Living, a welcoming and diverse community whose vision it is to contribute to a world that works for everyone. The inspirational message you are about to hear will expand your idea of what is possible in life right now and affirm your soul's knowing in taking that right next step towards your greatest good.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. For those of you who don't know me, I am Reverend Rafe Ellis, and I am thrilled and honored to be the senior minister of Columbia Center for Spiritual Living. This is a blessing beyond what I can even define. So this morning, we're continuing our journey of exploring passion and purpose. And this morning, we're looking at the perfectly imperfect passion. And that's an interesting thing when we talk about the perfection and that all life is perfect. So how can we even have a concept of imperfection? Well, because we're in this human form and we have this incredibly grace allows us to have the delusion, if you will, of separation. And when we're acting in that delusion of separation at any level, we will experience a sense of imperfection. It is never true about who we are, and it is infinitely accurate about the experience we are having. So we get to wrestle with the conceptual difference between truth and accuracy. Because the truth of our experience is that we are always whole, perfect, and complete. Always. That never changes. And I'm noticing my internet's doing some bizarre things. So I'm surrendering. And when my screen goes black, I'll pause, so that I'm not talking while it's doing whatever it's doing. And I'm just going to know and invite you to join me in knowing that this technology is a divine idea in the mind of God, and it too is perfect and knows how to correct itself. So let's just know that together for a moment. All right. So I want to go, before we get into the imperfection of our passions, and talk about the purpose of Science of Mind. And he defines it pretty clearly on page 448 of the text, The Science of Mind, A Philosophy of Faith, A Way of Life. And this is what he says. The whole purpose of Science of Mind is to reconcile the apparent separation of the spiritual world, which must be perfect, with the material world, which appears imperfect. The spiritual world is mental. It's crazy. I don't know what it's doing. The spiritual world is the cause of material. We are by mental law. Only the world can appear to us which we mentally perceive. Now, why is it important to stress mentally perceive? Because our human perceptions in the physical realm or through our five senses. And in order to shift our experience of that, in order to shift what is actually showing up in the physical world, we have to go to a mental picture beyond that. Now, we talked last week about our passions being that internal energy, that divine desire to create. And when those things become imperfect is when we forget that we are creating from the inside out and we try to create from the outside in. Right? When our passions get lost in production, when our passion, when that idea, that divine idea and the energy that goes with it gets sidetracked by the material realm. When we start telling ourselves it isn't happening, you don't see it yet. And I think us into the greatest experience of imperfection is comparison. That any of us would compare ourselves to someone else, I think, is the greatest opportunity we have to stop something and start something else. And it's interesting, this whole idea of stopping, because life is always affirmative. So in spiritual truth, life doesn't know how to stop. That's a human concept. Life only knows how to live. It only knows how to be. It only knows how to create. It doesn't know how to deny. Right? We use denials in spiritual mind treatment because we're dealing with our human brain. And the reality of it is, no, stop. Those are concepts that we've created in this human realm to help us navigate what we're doing. And it's important to know that in the spiritual realm, everything is creative. And so this idea of stopping something actually creates more of it. And so when in our passions, we bump into things that feel like barriers, if we focus on removing the barrier, we anchor it more. Is the barrier? Ernest Holmes says, which I think is quite profound, our part, and that's exactly what this heading, this is from the 1926 edition, our part is to be ready and willing to be guided into truth and liberty. Now, listen closely, because this is where the rub comes in the human realm for us, where our passion becomes problematic and imperfect for us. If in the making of a demonstration, it becomes necessary to change our mode of living, then the law will point the way and we will follow. Will we? Sometimes we do. And if we're being really honest, sometimes we don't. Sometimes that divine guidance collides with our human picture of where it's supposed to go. And I think this is our opportunity back into the passion. Go back into, if we understand our passion is our mental equivalent, that it's that fire to create. To literally be individualized in our particular human form. Then we follow. And we often follow when we don't understand. And that's called faith. He goes on, our correct choice will be part of the working out of the law. All doubt and fear must go. Not it's a good idea. Not if you feel like letting go, you might wanna. All doubt and fear must go. And in their place must come faith and confidence. For we shall be led by the Spirit into all good. Do we really believe that? That is what we get to sit with. Do we really believe that life is for us? Do we really believe that we are that in form? Or are we lost in the material world, where our passions appear imperfect, where we see more barriers than we. And I'm not going to tell you that's easy, because it's not. It's simple, and there's nothing easy about it. It requires deep and consistent spiritual practice. I often think of we often use it as an AED. That when everything poof, we pull out the spiritual AED to restart. What if you use spiritual practice as your health plan? As your wellness plan, so that you don't get sick. So you don't need an emergency first aid kit. I'm not sure what any of you are experiencing, but I'm loving that in this talk, I get to navigate the appearance of imperfection, spinning and buffering. And I don't know if that's coming through on your end or not. If it is, we get to do it together. So I will share this with you in closing. Again, in the 1926 edition, on page 236, Ernest Holmes offers us the supreme affirmation. He says this, strange as it may seem, the human thought can affirm only. It can never deny. For even at the moment of denial, it really affirms the presence of that which it denies. We speak of denials and affirmations as though they were opposite to each other, but such is not the case. Faith and fear are but two different ways of expressing positive beliefs about something. Fear is a positive belief that we will experience something that we do not wish to have happen. While faith is a positive belief that we will experience something that we do wish to have happen. I'm going to invite you to bring to mind your passion, the one that's alive in you, in your awareness at this moment, and to hold it as the only thing that can happen. Because that is the desire, the heart of creation itself. And let's take that into prayer. That this one everything causes everything to be. And I know that I am a thing that I hold in consciousness. Every thought is a use of consciousness, is a direction of consciousness, is an activation of consciousness into the activity of itself that we call law. And in recognizing this, I recognize it's a thing. It must come into being. And what is true of me must be true of all life, because there is only one life here, one thing present. And so I speak my word, claiming and affirming now, which is the only moment that we have. That every use of consciousness coming into alignment with its perfect beingness. The doing is guided by that. That we reason from the inside out. That we know from the inside out. That we demonstrate from the inside out. And as we do, we are filled with gratitude. Filled to overflowing with gratitude. We let go. We release the word spoken. It's so. And we live in that realization, knowing that we must experience it in the physical realm, exactly as we have planted it in law. And I invite you to join me as we say together, and so it is. So I invite you to take a breath and, having heard this message, set an intention for the week. Passion of your purpose, however for your passion, for your purpose, and to take that into the week. I love you.